few minutes late, and I have not heard anything from her yet. Supervisor Rodriguez.
He said he was like 3 minutes away.
Cool. All right, then we'll join us in the comments. Okay, Terry, do you have certification that we're in compliance with the open meetings laws?
I do.
Okay. So this meeting has been properly noticed, and we are in compliance. Okay, two things I want to say at the outset. One, you know you're an old man when you throw out your back taking the garbage out, and I did that this morning, so I may need to stand up during the meeting, or I may, you know, kind of look like I'm in pain or something, so I don't want that to be a distraction. I'm just simply putting that out there if I stand up, not to, you know, say, hey, what's Gashke up to over there, so okay. And then the other thing is, we do have a lot of important things that we want to work through in this first portion of the UW Extension meeting. That being said, we do need to be aware of the time, because we have a hard 7 o'clock start time next door with the next meeting. So just keep the time in mind, and we should have enough time, I would think, to work through all of this. So. All right, so Erica, if you're ready, we're excited to hear about the featured programs, the YAR Youth as Resources.
Great, thank you so much, Supervisor Gashke. All right, well, thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm really excited to talk about Youth as Resources this evening. I will be mindful of time, and I think in just a short presentation, we'll be able to learn a lot about what I think is a really incredible program. So first, if you're not familiar, Youth as Resources, it's a grant-giving program which funds youth design and youth-led community service projects in Kenosha County. It's coordinated in partnership with Extension Kenosha County and United Way. So each year we receive a $5,000 budget from United Way, or the board does, rather, and the board, which is comprised of 9 youth and 3 adults, can give grants up to $500 by youth design service projects. So that's youth anywhere from K through 12 all over Kenosha County. So you can have a group of, like, a bunch of awesome kindergartners that want to do a coat giveaway, and they plan it all out with the help of a teacher or a leader of an organization they're part of. Or it could be all the way through 12th grade and some more, mature, kind of comprehensive projects. So, a little bit more, like I said, 9 youth are elected by the previous board every year. There is not a term limit, so once you graduate high school, you're not in it anymore, but it is 9th through 12th graders, and usually you do stay on if they join at a younger age for multiple years. And there's 3 adults to kind of help teach the youth about the aspects of being on a board and then parliamentary procedure and things of that nature. So we have our president, our vice president, our secretary, our treasurer. Those are all youth board members, the officers, and then our parliamentarian who helps things kind of stay on track. Hi, good evening.
Hello.
And then we have the membership outreach program and endowment committees. So it really is, the structure and the way that the board works is entirely the same way that an adult board works. So I think this is an incredible opportunity because it's not kind of, it's not like a mock this, which also can be incredible opportunities. It's not like just teaching them, like as an example, they're actually a board that gives out $5,000 every year. And then those projects are designed by youth. So it's really kind of proving that youth aren't just the leaders of tomorrow, but actually the leaders of today as well, which is why I'm so passionate about it myself. So I have a sample meeting agenda. You can see that up here. So it all starts with our pledge. I have a couple of props here. We have our YAR flag and our American flag. So they do the Pledge of Allegiance and the YAR pledge. And then here's the gavel that the president of the board uses at each meeting. So we have our secretary gives a report of minutes from the last meeting, treasurer on the status of how many funds there are, and then every cycle, which usually there's 4 cycles, this year we moved to a 3-cycle model by a vote of the board. They give 3-minute presentations on their project. And then our board moves into discussion and decides how much funding to give each project, votes and approves the funds, and then the youth go ahead and move forward with their project with the funds given to them by the board. So I have here just pictures of our last 2 years of Youth Resources Boards in 2021 and 21-22. And then here are, you'll see this in our annual report right here that my predecessor Jen Reese put together. She managed the program last year, so you have kind of an overview of all the different projects that were funded. As you can see, a variety of different applicants, and you know, funding levels and like types of projects here. And over here you can see 11 grants last year, 201 total since the beginning. You can see how many youth we've impacted and how much funding we have distributed to provide that impact. And then we have our Leonard and Patricia Johnson Award, who helped, you know, found the organization here in Kenosha County. And that's awarded every year to, you know, an outstanding project as voted by the youth board. And then, of course, our youth board members also participate in 2 service projects every year with a local organization. So the board is not only meeting and giving out funds, but also developing relationships with each other as they learn what it's like to be on a board. With that, I think I have 2 guest speakers here with me, and I think I will start with Regina LaForge, who is part of the a youth advisor for Bristol Challenge and has witnessed her club's immense impact of receiving grants over the years. So you might just share a few words about what it's been like. I also have here some of the project books, so at the end of the year, all of the grant recipients create a book with pictures and results of their project. So I have both the one from Bristol Challenge last year and a few others. So this is just, it'll get to that part. Thanks.
Our club for about the last 15 years, I think, has always done the making blankets for, it used to be the Shalom Center, and now we've kind of moved out west of Interstate for the Sharing Center, and the whole club gets involved shopping, making the blankets. The last couple of years have been tough with COVID, but we've sent them home and they've done them at home and then we've all turned them in. But normally we go as a group and turn them in so they kind of get to see it. This year we're actually getting our 2nd grant. We're doing the Sleep in Heavenly Peace, where they're providing beds for children who don't have beds. But it's, the VR program is just great. I feel like it's just not noted enough through the youth. I think it needs to be presented in the schools. I know there's been Boy Scouts getting their Eagle Scouts and stuff like that, but I really think it just needs to be more put out there so the youth know it's available. I would hate to see mm-hmm. it. I would hate to see it leave.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, and that's sort of one of the biggest, as I mentioned, there's the outreach committee, the membership, and the program committee. So we have our outreach committee each year that works on, you know, revamping our strategies to get more applicants, and that's a huge focus of what we're working on right now. So a little bit more about the youth board and the impact for the youth that participate in the VR board. Oh, welcome. So every year there's sort of an analysis of data on you know, what were the key takeaways that the board members themselves got out of it. So in 2020-2021, 8 out of 9 youth felt that they were more knowledgeable about Kenosha County afterward. After participating in the program, 8 out of 9 youth felt they improved their abilities to speak more confidently in front of a group and see issues from multiple perspectives, which is so important as they, you know, grow in the world and figure out you know, how to work across different divides in community programs. And then 2/3 of the youth did feel more equipped to evaluate project proposals and sit on a board, with 1/3 of those youth feeling pretty significantly improved in that area. And I think that is one of the, not only being able to provide more of, you know, youth voice in what's happening in Kenosha County, but for these youth being able to kind of start when they're in high school, as young as 9th grade, being able to say like, wow, I know what it's like to sit on a board, I know how to evaluate project proposals, and I can continue to take that with me, you know, into adulthood. So with that, I want to give Maureen Proctor here, who is our current vice president of VR board, an opportunity to talk a little bit about her experience. She's been on the board for 2 years, and I hope she's had a good time.
So hi everyone, I'm Abby Proctor. like Erica said, I've been on the board for about a year and a half now, finishing my second year. And I'd like to talk just a little bit about the influence that Yara's had on my life and my leadership skills. So to start off, I've learned so much about the granting process through Yara from both sides. I've actually learned about it as an applicant with my 4-H club. We just recently proposed a project and got funding for that. And I've also learned that about it from the perspective of a board member, as I've gotten to partake in discussion and review of all of the grant proposals that have come over to us from the year, over the last year and a half. I've grown a stronger connection with my community by thinking both in terms of like who I can help and how I can help them. I'm part of the program committee, so like Erica said, that's the committee that plans the service projects that the board will participate in throughout the year. So as part of that committee, I've brainstormed ideas, and I've identified groups of people in areas of need, areas of the community that are in need. I've also helped to plan, carry out, and follow through with all the service projects that we have done as a board. And I've seen firsthand the impact that youth could have on their community, both through the results of the grant proposals for projects that have come to us and through our own participation as a board in service community service projects. I've gained so many valuable leadership and public speaking skills as part of the board. I've learned to communicate more effectively with my peers, adults, and youth that are younger than me. And I've learned to conduct effective business meetings as well. All of these examples have been set by both the high school youth on the board and of all of the wonderful adults who devote their time and talents to help us all become better leaders. I'm so proud to be part of an organization that allows youth to create the change that they want to see in their community, and at the same time helps them build leadership skills that are going to last them a lifetime. I'm also so grateful for the opportunity I've had to learn and grow through my involvement with Youth and Resources.
Here's a couple pictures from this year's winter service project. Some of the youth that are currently on the board helped out with a fundraiser for a foundation providing scholarships over the winter, and kind of ran some of the booths for the youth that were at the event. So that was just kind of a fun opportunity to not only work with each other, but also meet a lot of the different professionals in Kenosha and kind of learn what kinds of opportunities are out there. So here I have an example of some of like the media we use to get Youth as Resources applications. So this year we were able to translate all of our materials into Spanish so that we can continue to reach more youth and families about the program, and then get all of our information out through KUSD and through the schools. And our outreach committee is definitely actively making those personal relationships with local organizations to build knowledge and awareness of the program and continue to expand our applicant base. So this is just one example of one of the media pieces that we've used. Yeah. And then right now where we're at in the process is that we are getting ready to open up the new set of applications for the next year's Youth as Resources Board. I decided to include nomination papers for the Youth as Resources program along with the Youth and Governance program when I mailed them out to all the schools, so that there's more of an opportunity to find more youth who might be interested that way. But of course, any youth will be able to apply whether or not they were nominated as the process goes. And our current membership committee is in the process of updating the application questions and the interview process. Last year we had significantly more interviewees and applicants than in years previous, which was super exciting, but made for a really long interview process. So our membership committee is developing the criteria to have multiple levels of reviewing all the applicants and having the final applicants get to the interview round. So this is just kind of a little snapshot, from the Google form. I'm just trying to, as much as possible, have paper copies, online copies, make it as accessible and well-known as possible for youth to be able to apply to be on the program and to apply for funding. So with that, hopefully you got a chance to look at some of the project books and our annual report. I have a couple other, papers here that maybe you want to take a look at. I have one of our applications from this year, so you can see, actually it's the most recent application for Bristol Challenge. Keep doing this for me, I appreciate it. Just right, just fast reading, and then she can pass along. So, yay! some of the other materials that we use.
Thanks, Abby.
And yeah, that's the Youth as Resources program and kind of the result, our most recent results, and kind of our next steps right now. So any questions from anyone? Yes.
So does each county do this as well that you know of?
It is done in other counties. I not every county has a Youth as Resources program, no. But it's an extension program, and it's done in other parts of the state, of the country as well.
On the funded projects page, it says how much was funded. So did the kids on the board decide how much each project gets?
Yes, so I was looking at the stickers to show you, but I did not. So they can apply for up to 500, so not every project does, depending on their needs. And then how it works is there's a certain amount of money, like divided by how much money there's available every year, so it's 5,000 and usually a little bit more. And then depending on how many applicants there are in each round, the youth on the board get like stickers that are worth $10 each, and then starting with the youngest board member gets to allocate the funding via stickers. They have their portion of the funds represented in the stickers, and then they go and divide it up, and then at the end, based on how much funding each person on the board has decided to allocate to each one, that's how we determine what they get. Yeah.
Any other questions from committee members?
I have a clarification question. I see we're providing the application process in Spanish through mm-hmm. KUSD, and I believe that's a relatively new requirement mm-hmm. to pass out mass communications in their schools, right? So that was a sort of an added item, but very exciting, and maybe that isn't true for all schools, but just wanting to clarify that to show, additional outreach. And sometimes it comes along with some additional work on our end, getting the translations and making sure those are correct and communications, but we're super excited to be able to offer that.
Yeah, definitely. It's really an awesome example of the tools from the university and then the tools from the county and the tools from our partner United Way kind of coming together to improve and enhance the program and accessibility for the program.
Great. Anything else, committee members? All right, Erica, thank you. Appreciate the presentation, ladies. We appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to be here tonight and to help share your perspective. So thank you. Thanks for your participation in this program. All right, if there's nothing else with YAR, then that leads us to YIG, Youth and Governance. And Erica, that is, I believe, once again you.
Yes. I'm just going to turn the other way. Cool. All right. Yeah. So I had a little bit of a shorter presentation because I wanted to make sure we had an opportunity, if needed, to discuss the Youth and Governance Handbook and talk to my presenters. So the extension portion of the meeting goes until 7 or a little bit before. So if you want to stay back and get to that later, if you want to keep attending, or you're free to go if you want. But let me just hand out. Our Youth and Governance Draft Handbook for 2022-2023. So we will just need to vote on approving that. It is almost exactly the same as last year. The only major change is that when the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission was approved and started, County Executive Jim Cruiser recommended that two youth and governance students be appointed to that commission as well, because the previous cohort was very instrumental in developing, in working with the work group to develop that commission. We felt that the youth voice would continue to be important. This year, the commission was started after the youth and governance cohort began, so we had two youth and governance representatives who were already on another committee be appointed to be on the commission as well. But we felt that it was a robust enough experience that met often enough that it should be two additional spots to be opened up. So we would be upping the amount of youth and governance representatives from 14 to 16 plus the two alternates. So that is the biggest change. And there was really a huge interest in the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission from this year's cohort. So I just think it'll be really, it's not exactly the same right as being on a committee, but I think it'll be a really valuable experience that youth will be interested in applying for. Then aside from that, I added some language to kind of clarify a couple things. It wasn't red. I gave you the digital copy and it was red. And I realized this is black and white, so it's light gray, the changes that I made. But there's just a few. Just kind of clarifying some processes that already exist. So clarifying that it's not just the schools that can send an official list of nominations, but actually anyone can nominate someone to be in the youth and governance student, be a youth and governance representative. So teacher, mentor, and even, you know, youth themselves can nominate themselves or their peers. So just kind of opening up that process, clarifying it, and then there's a bullet about encouraging youth to participate in other committees. So I added to that bullet to encourage youth to participate in other committees as well as attend additional county board meetings. So that's just adding that we encourage them to attend as many meetings as they can if possible. And then other than that, it's all dates. So setting the dates for the bus tour, which again is the last Wednesday in June, the orientation, which is the May County Board meeting, the third Tuesday, and then of course after the elections in April, I will go ahead and update the, you know, list of supervisors as needed and staff. Toward the end you have the photos of our current cohort, and the contact information, which of course will also be updated. So.
Okay, thanks. Committee members, any questions about the proposed handbook? Supervisor Lugo?
I have a couple of questions. I didn't list a couple. One is, and that might not go in order on this, okay? But on page 7, it's about adding for the racial, ethnic, and equity commission.
Yes.
I mean, why are we doing that?
Yeah. County Executive Jim Cruiser recommended that be done,
okay,
or requested that it be done.
Okay. And what does the county executive has anything to do with this committee? I think this was the board, the Kenosha County Board, that decides on this committee. So
yeah.
I'm not really sure. I might be wrong, so that's why I'm asking the question. I might be wrong, but where does Jim Cruiser come in, his involvement in this thing? I mean, with all due respect, he's only had a couple of months to be there.
Sure.
He's trying to dictate, and not just on this year, but for other things too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I wonder what's and then. Okay, that's my question. I don't know.
Yeah, no,
sorry,
I totally.
You can answer on that.
I completely understand the question. So this right now is the actual decision. It's PDEC's decision to choose to add this or not. So Cruiser does not have a say in whether or not it is officially added to the handbook. His office reached out to mention that they, as an idea, because of how involved the previous cohort had been in the work group and how instrumental like that youth voice was in forming the commission. So from Cruiser's office really asking, you know, would that be possible? This is our idea. There was kind of a group of involved parties that discussed it, including myself, and whether or not we thought that might be a good thing to pilot. So this year we invited two youth and governance students to have their advisory role on that committee in addition to their experience on the committees they were on. So just trying to see how that looked and how that worked. And
when,
based
when was
on
that done? And why wasn't the committee aware of it?
It was done, let's see, when the commission was first, when the commission was first passed, and there initial change. It was kind of to pilot and see if it, how it looked, to be able to adequately present it here.
Yeah, I could just shed a little bit of light on that. So, yeah, as Erica mentioned earlier, the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission officially formed as, and was launched after YIG was already started, as Erica mentioned earlier. That being said, youth and governance can attend any commission, any committee, any county board meeting they want to. And these particular youth expressed interest in attending these meetings regularly and things. So as Erica said, it wasn't any official change. It was something that these particular youth were interested in, you know, regularly attending. And that's also kind of led us to the point where we've gotten feedback from youth and governance participants that this is something that they would see as being a valuable, like, official committee or commission appointment moving forward. So it's not exclusively from the executive's office, as Erica mentioned. It's also the youth themselves. Many of them have expressed interest in serving or, you know, attending this commission regularly.
Yes, and actually that reminds me, I should have mentioned this from the beginning, the reason that the executive's office had this idea is that one of the youth and governance students applied to be on, to actually officially be on the commission, like applied along with all the other applicants who were appointed. And of course, Chris's office had access to see who would be appointed to that commission, and through that process saw that one of the youth and governance representatives had applied to be on it, but felt that with people graduating from high school relatively soon, that it would be hard to have young people officially appointed, but felt that the youth voice was important and wanted to honor that interest, and so reached out to me to say, hey, this youth and governance student applied to be on the commission, and we don't think it's a good idea for them to be on it, but can they, you know, be invited formally to attend in a similar manner that they do with youth and governance? And then from there, deciding that there was one other student that was really interested, and it kind of taking the form of what might be exploring how that would look officially in the future.
The other question that I have on this, who is in charge or pretty much votes or interviews the youth to become a member of different committees?
Yeah. So every year the process is that the two youth and governance representatives on PDEC, as well as the chair of PDEC, and then one other member of PDEC interview the applicants.
I'm sorry, which one? Who again?
It was two supervisors on this committee, PDEC, and the two youth and governance students that are on PDEC, one being the chair.
So this past year, the current cohort, it was Supervisor Maurer and I were representing our committee, and then the two youth and governance were obviously on, and then Bev Baker was also involved in those, you know, the former director.
Okay, in the past, I know that in the past, were we at the full committee of PDAC was involved in interviews. In fact, that time I was not on this committee, but because one of the supervisors could not make it, I was invited to take their place. Now, when was this changed? This maybe has to do with the PDAC committee itself. When was this changes made, and why were these changes made? I know Supervisor Rodriguez has been a member of this committee for a few years, and he was on the interview process before the other times, but last year again, I didn't even know who was interviewing, but I know I was not part of it, and I know that Supervisor Rodriguez was not part of it. I meant to ask at a later date, but again, now we're making changes based on what the specific person, and I'm not going to keep repeating names or anything, but I guess everybody around North knows it. He seems like he's calling all the shots for the committees, and he wants to do any way he pleases, and we just follow orders pretty much. And I'm going to be against this, so I'm going to vote against these changes, by the way. I wanted to bring that up. So I don't know if anybody else is going to make a comment on that, or I'll probably have a couple more questions. But right now, I'm
I'd say go ahead and finish the rest of your question.
Well, it's okay. No, I want to hear it because otherwise they're going to forget what the answer says.
Yeah, definitely. I think I sort of misspoke earlier when I said that it was Cruz's idea. It was not. It was the youth and governance members themselves that, you know, one of them applied, and it was the fact that Cruiser had access to see who applied that his office brought it to my attention that a youth and governance student had applied, and that maybe there was a different way, given the structure of this program, that the youth could be involved. So it wasn't really, in my opinion, it wasn't really, you know, any type of like control tactic. It was just noticing that youth had been very interested, given that a specific youth had applied, as well as the fact that the youth were super involved in the previous cohort before I started this role. So I think, and then in just in my experience this year, the youth themselves have been very excited about the Regional Ethnic Equity Commission. It's one of the things that they asked me the most about. Many of them expressed interest to me in being involved, and they wanted to receive the application and potentially be on it themselves. So it was just something that the youth, I think, really connected with and were really excited about. So that's really the true origin of the reason, rather than it being like an idea of Cruiser, which
with all due respect to that, but if we can go back to the email we got it from you, I believe today or yesterday,
mm-hmm.
It does say there that it was pretty much, please don't quote me on the exact words, but pretty much it came out that a Cruiser was asking for that, and you kind of agreed to what he was asking for. So it seems like, I don't know what it is, but too many things.
Yeah, no, I totally understand, and that is the way that I wrote it.
I don't know if it's politics I tried to play or whatever. I just hate that. I mean, it's put everything out of there. And with the youth and government being excited, being on the committee, well, I guess they will be excited to be in any kind of committees. I could bring up, I'm just mentioning, let's say Brookside, because
mm-hmm.
they have the Board of Trustees, okay? I think that's very interesting. If I talk to a couple of call them kids, please, nobody gets offended, you know, where's youth in there, and I talk about Brookside a little bit, I'm sure they will be very excited to be on that committee, you know, to do it. So if this one, I don't blame them, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they should not be, but if they do, I think you should come from the committee, and they should not come from the county executive
yeah.
office. So that's the problem that I have.
Okay, further questions, Supervisor Dudo, on the handbook?
Not right now.
Okay, any other committee members? Yeah, Supervisor Rodriguez.
I don't mean to echo Supervisor Dudo, but it sounds like we're backpedaling here, saying, well, it wasn't the county executive's idea. The email said it was. The text right here says it is. And I don't like the idea of an outgoing executive trying to make last minute changes to different things. If Cruiser got an application from, I'm going to assume it was Shelby, who applied, she was on the work group with us.
That was the previous year, so no.
Nonetheless, if Shelby, or if Cruiser got an application from one of these students, he made that decision to say no, nobody else. Cruiser alone, not the staff, not the county board, Cruiser alone makes the decisions on who he appoints to the various commissions and boards throughout the county. And now he said no, and he's trying to pass the buck onto the county board. I'm not gonna support that. And I just want to hit on again, because I'm looking for clarification. You said that we, or extensions, or whoever, approached you and said, would you like to kind of unofficially serve on this work group, sit on it in an advisory role currently? Did that or did that not happen?
So I think to your first point, I think probably the language about Cruiser just comes from, I'm new to this role, and I'm kind of inferring how things are going to look based on like the previous structure, what happened in previous interviews, how this sort of timeline looks in here. And in previous years, it mentions, different elected officials. So I think that was just my, mistake. But the answer your question.
Did you get a request from the county executive to add that in? Because your email says...
No.
Is
not,
that per the request of County Executive Jim Kruser?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that untrue?
That's confusing.
Or did Kruser request it, which is untrue?
It is the office. Jenny Tunkies called me, who is a...
Is a
mentor, as you know, in the youth and governance program for joint services.
And so is well aware. Did you ask current youth and governance to serve on the commission?
I asked two youth and governance if they would be interested, yes.
And why was the committee not informed of that?
There were several individuals who were asked about what they thought about the idea, and it was just sort of a pilot, like non-official, you know, asking if they'd be interested in attending the meetings regularly, so it didn't.
Who was included in that then, in this unofficial discussion?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Besides the students, which elected leaders or county staff were included in that, or UW Extension staff were included in
that? I have to look back and check. I'm not sure.
This committee's tasked with overseeing this program.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here tonight. But now we're seeing that somebody like the county executive, regardless of if it's Jim Kruser or not, the county executive has never had a role in this program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any reason to include him now. There's a reason that the county board acts separately from the county executive. There's a reason we do things that sometimes we feel maybe the executive has not acted on, so we do certain things, and vice versa. He may introduce stuff and bring forward to the county board things that things we have not acted on appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to support this either. I don't like just hearing about this now that, hey, we want to start this next year, but by the way, we've been doing it for quite some time, and we didn't inform the committee that oversees the program. So I won't be supporting any of the changes in this packet having to do with that commission. Not because it's that commission, but because of the way it was done. And to go off of what Supervisor Nudo said, we have a ton of different commissions and boards throughout the county that are filled with appointed individuals, appointed by the county executive, but we've kind of cherry-picked this one. We have Brookside, we have the Veteran Services, we have the Violent Sex Offender thing. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The Library Board, I mean, there's so much. And so it's solely the fact that this was done without the consent of the committee, without even informing the committee that, hey, we're going to try this, so that later this year, towards the end of the current county board term, we might add this. That was never done, and so I'm not going to support that. That's all.
Okay, committee members, any further discussion on the proposed handbook changes? Anything else, committee members? Okay, so obviously, Supervisor Nudo and Rodriguez have indicated that they will not be supporting some of these changes. That being said, I will entertain a motion from a committee member that we adopt the handbook, and then as needed, Supervisor Nudo or Rodriguez could make a motion that we strike certain things. But we first need to officially bring a motion forward so that we can amend it as the committee sees fit. So I'll entertain a motion that we adopt the handbook as presented, and then we can have further discussion and make amendments. Is there such a motion?
I don't think that motion would be in order. I think what we should do first is strike language. So I'll make a motion to strike fall 2021 on page 7, starting with that bullet point, fall 2021, and ending in where it says 2022 period. Additionally,
Supervisor Rodriguez, I'm really not trying to quibble here on details, but I do believe we need to have a motion in front of us before we can amend the motion. So I'm happy to entertain those amendments, but my understanding is that we do need to have a motion before us before we can start making amendments.
I will move to accept the handbook as it is printed.
And then again, we will open this up to discussion. It will be open to the possibility for amendments. Is there a second to Supervisor Betts' motion? Is there a second to the motion that we discuss the
draft handbook changes? Okay, well, failing a second, there is no motion before us, and we'll move on. Okay, agenda item number four, UW Extension, educator and program updates. Terry, I'll just leave this at your discretion to whichever updates or order that you want the programs presented in. Thank you.
Sure, thank you. Mary, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. So a few updates that I'll just highlight is starting a stress reduction and coping series with some early education staff has been happening virtually. A couple in-person programs that were set to start at the beginning of the year were pushed back due to the COVID numbers at that point, but we'll be starting some financial management classes with a veterans home, which is a transitional living facility, next week. And then also working with Kenosha Correctional Center to figure out how to reintroduce the reentry resource fairs. But the Department of Corrections has suspended volunteers again. So we're looking at putting together questionnaires and ways to still get the materials and resources to the guys that will be released, probably individually without kind of the fair style with the different vendors there. And I'm still working with the county committee that works through the April Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Month. So just kind of retooling, just because within Wisconsin there's going to be more emphasis on strengthening families moving forward. So I'll be able to bring more materials and information next month for sure, just regarding local activities that are coming as well as updates to the campaign.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Erica, do you have any further updates from your program area?
No.
Okay. Excellent. I'll be sharing updates for VJ Pandian, our horticulture educator, and also for Amy Greil in community development. We're currently in process with the landscape grounds short course registration and also spring into gardening registration. We will be conducting the pesticide applicator training here at KCC February 28th. Let's see, let me just clarify that date real quick. We have the Pinewood Derby, I believe, on the 27th, and then a quick change set up for the 28th for pesticide applicator training, and that's going to be a whopper because that's been suspended for the last couple years. So we have quite a few folks in there. VJ's also working on some signage for tree maintenance, and his new system for registration for programming is going pretty well. So we're using the Eventbrite system. In community development, Amy's working on her academic interest relational networking, providing some different opportunities for folks to engage in that. She is working with the Kenosha Innovation Neighborhood, or KIN. And then we're also planning, in various stages of planning, the Real Colors training for the Wisconsin Racine Kenosha Consortium. So these are economic support staff that administer benefits for healthcare, food share, et cetera. Those folks, they're shorthanded and they're needing some team building opportunities, so they've reached out to us for planning. She's also in process of providing that for the library and Department of Corrections. And we're hoping to get another staff person trained to support that work, because that is in quite high demand right now from various groups, and we even have some opportunity to generate additional income using that program and format. Let's see, what else? Okay, I'm going to take off the educator hat, or that's all for educator updates.
Okay, great. So then we'll move into the director updates then.
Sure.
Okay, thanks for sharing updates on behalf of VJ and Amy.
You bet. Okay, director updates are our staffing. We're still struggling with staffing. So we're currently in process with the third round of interviews for our 4-H position, and we have been hurting. in 4-H, as we don't have a person in that role currently. And I'm new. I don't know that program area well. I'm learning by fire and, you know, doing my best. But we have some part-time allocation of support staff, and we've been fumbling through. That position closes February 3rd, and we hope to goodness that we've had better pools than what we've seen in the last couple of rounds, so that we have some good, strong candidates. We can get someone going in that position. And we are working with the state program manager to strategize about how we can still provide some minimal services to Kenosha County 4-H until we get someone trained and onboarded in that role. The Agriculture Institute is still finalizing their staffing model, and we should hopefully in the next month or so be able to post that shared ag position for the 0.5 for Kenosha, 0.5 for Racine. And the conversation from that director has been about a small farm, a person with a focus on small farms. So that is coming down the pike. And let's see, I have some other opportunities that I wanted to share. If you could just pass these items, Mary. This one is the mental health first aid for the farming community and those who serve them, just as an FYI. And then this one comes out of the Community Development Institute, is the 2022 Wisconsin Rural Economic Summit. There is an agenda on there, so anyone can register for that online. I will also have April send out the email, and that has the links in it, so y'all can click on those, and it's a little bit easier to register. But you'll see on the handout maybe some topics that might be of interest to you in that summit, and feel free to sign on and register. That is the end of my updates.
We have about 15 minutes until our next meeting starts. That being said, I did want to let the committee know that upon further reflection on the youth and governance portion of our agenda, it does simply say youth and governance. Our agenda doesn't specifically say adopting the handbook. So that being said, Supervisor Rodriguez, I think you were correct. I think that we would be able to make changes to the handbook and then vote it up and down as a committee. And so I just wanted to say, upon further reflection, I do think that would be appropriate. Again, I want to make sure that we as a committee are doing things properly, and so I appreciate your flexibility with me. So if the committee is open to revisiting agenda item number 3 and open to considering certain amendments to the handbook, then I would say let's go back to agenda item number 3 at the time.
I don't believe that's what it says. Pretty much it says that we're going to discuss it and possible vote on that. You know, so I think it was done properly when we made a motion first to do that.
Okay.
And since we did not have a motion, it's just like we did discuss it. A motion was made on that, and we just move on.
That's yeah. I'll make a motion to replace it. I can replace the document in the agenda item with my document. That's in order. My document has some things scratched up.
Supervisor Rodriguez is going to make a motion.
Well, I'll explain the motion first before I make it, just to walk everybody through if they've got their handbooks out. Mm-hmm. Page 7, I would strike.
I think, I'm sorry.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Point of order, Supervisor Nudo, yes.
I don't believe we can make any amendments because we don't have a motion to discuss that. So really, we should not be making any changes or anything because there's nothing to change. Nothing was presented to vote on. So I think we make changes. Is I think it would be for the future. Maybe they can bring it up next month if they want to with the changes that you suggested.
I think we're on the same page with the changes, but I'm going to disagree.
Supervisor Rodriguez, that being said, would you be willing to second the motion that Supervisor Bott said? And then
we're not going to go back on that. It's already voted and it's already passed. And we're just playing games.
No,
that's one of the reasons why I spoke against this, because I think it's a bunch of games being played. and I'm not going to go back and forth. You guys want to do that? I guess it's up to you.
Okay.
But as it is right now, I'll make a motion to adjourn because we went through all the agenda. Motion to adjourn.
All right, there's been a motion made to adjourn. Is there a second? Hearing none, we are not adjourned. Supervisor Rodriguez, for the sake of being able to make the amendments and the discussion, would you be willing to second Supervisor Buff's?
My motion is to replace what is on the agenda with my document that is in order.
Yep.
We've done that on the point before in the past.
No, I agree. I'm trying to help you gain consensus.
I think I'll have a second. And if not, then that's okay. So, to walk everybody through, we'll start in the written, printed out version, page 7. I would strike fall 2021, that's the fifth bullet point from the top, starting at fall 2021 to 2022 at the end of that paragraph there. Additionally, on page 19, the last bullet point, Racial Equity Commission, I would strike that whole point. And again, on page 19, I would strike the second footnote. That's it. So that's my document. My motion is to replace the document in the agenda with my document. Those are the differences. That's my motion.
Okay. Is there a second, Supervisor?
Second.
Okay. It's been, the motion has been made that we adopt the handbook with the proposed changes Supervisor Rodriguez has mentioned. Supervisor Maurer has seconded.
That's okay. I'm going to speak again.
Okay. Yes, you made the motion. If you'd like to continue just your discussion.
This page 8. Yeah. Application process. It was noted that we wanted to make this a little bit easier. Eric, I think you said you wanted parents, students, anybody could nominate somebody. I don't see where that language is in the application process because it still says high schools will nominate. Doesn't allow. It says we're going to send it to other places, but doesn't say that other places are allowed to nominate. Mm-hmm. So seeing as such, I would amend the applications process. The first sentence would stay the same. So starting after and local youth serving organizations, it would read community members may nominate as many students based on requirements above. Community members is broad enough that it allows for students, anybody who lives in the community. And I think that achieves that. I think that was just a failure.
So instead of high schools will, you would say
community members may.
Right. Is there a second to that?
I'll second.
Okay, Supervisor Miles seconded.
I think that clears up the old language too, because I don't think will says that they're going to do it. I don't think we can demand the schools that they do it.
Okay. All right. Is there any further discussion on this handbook as amended? Any further discussion on it as amended? Erica, obviously the changes here, including the application process, there affect you and your program. Do you have any feedback for us as a committee, any from your professional perspective?
Sure. Well, first, I just want to apologize to the committee. I completely take responsibility for this, like, ignoring what should have been the correct process. I understand, why it might look like game playing or anything like that, but I just want to, like, reiterate, like, this was just pure ignorance on my part. Like, I made a mistake. I was new to my role. It was between supervisors. And I just was still learning about how, like, county government functions, and I should have brought it to the committee at that point and followed proper procedure, and I just was still learning and did not take the initiative to figure out what I should do next. So I just really want to apologize for that. I did not mean to go against procedure or undermine the authority of this committee or the county board in doing so, but truly it just was a mistake, and I really want to apologize, and I appreciate everyone's comments and correcting, like, what should have been the correct process. So very much appreciate that. I still think that having youth and governance representatives on the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission would be an incredible addition. When they were oriented, it was the same night that, their orientation was the same night that the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission got approved. So that is kind of what started their strong interest in the commission versus other commissions, because of course they could have taken interest. It was the youth that started that conversation. And with that, I do think it would be important, and I would love the opportunity to, at some point, go about this in a better way, so that could happen, and even open up possibilities for youth to be able to get more involved in other commissions and, as well. But I do understand why we might not want to do that at this time. So again, apologies. I really believe youth should be on that commission, but I'm happy just to continue to invite youth to attend whatever commission until hopefully there might be an opportunity to do this in a correct manner. So apologies, and thank you for your time and for helping me with that.
Thank you. We appreciate you sharing that perspective. But we understand, you know, we have lots of people adjusting to their new roles with UW Extension, so thank you for that perspective. That being said, in your professional opinion, would this handbook, with the changes as proposed by the committee tonight, would that be something that you would be able to work with moving forward if we approved this as a committee?
Yes, definitely. Okay. It would, you know, essentially be the same as it was in previous years, and just a couple little updates to more reflect how the process works, like the one that was just discussed, and continue to work very well. Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Committee members, any further discussion? Supervisor Beth?
I would really like to see the changes before we vote on this reprinted, so next month's meeting we'd have a copy of the changes he suggested, rather than me voting right now and not knowing exactly what I'm voting for. That's just my opinion.
I appreciate your diligence in wanting to make sure you're careful what you're voting on. I will say that this then will, I may be wrong, I was gonna say this would go before the county board, but I'm not sure. Do you know, ladies, if I don't know that these handbook changes
No, they would not.
So, Erica, in your timeline of needing to start onboarding the next cohort, if we were to wait an additional month as a committee and vote on this next month, would that be unduly burdensome upon your timeline, or would that work for you? I mean, I suppose you could begin operating under the old handbook timeline, and then next month, if we as a committee approve changes, move forward from there.
Yes.
I guess my question is, if we delay voting tonight, and I understand Supervisor Beth wanting to do her due diligence, would that be a problem for your timeline?
No, it would not be a problem right now.
Okay. All right, so Supervisor Beth, are you making a motion then that we...
I would like to make a motion that we delay voting on this until the changes are in print.
Okay.
Next month.
So you would like to table this to be retaken up next month,
right,
when we have things clearly typed up before?
Yes.
Okay. So Supervisor Beth has made a motion that we table this with the intention of taking this back up next month as a committee. Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay, seconded by Supervisor Noodle. Is there any discussion on that?
I'm not going to support that. I can walk us through again. Supervisor Beth, I understand where she's coming from. I can show her right here what's changing. We do this on the county board floor quite often.
Right.
Oftentimes at quite longer lengths of text being changed. I'm not gonna delay this until next month, and if we have another county board supervisor in here who can be on whichever committee he chooses to be, I'm not gonna support that.
Okay.
So Supervisor Beth,
so we have a motion before us. It's been made and seconded by Supervisor Noodle. So let's vote on that.
I'm just saying, and I'm offering this to Supervisor Beth, and it may not change her mind. She might still want to print it. And show you what can be struck from this and what is going to be added. We're only adding three words to the entire thing. Everything else is deletion. So if she'd like to see that, I'm willing to offer that.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate you being willing to clarify that. Let's as a committee vote, the motion before us currently is to table this with the intention of bringing it back up next month. Just go down the line, starting with youth and governance. Are you in favor of tabling this discussion with the intention of bringing it up next month? If you're in favor, please say aye, or nay if you're opposed.
Aye.
Okay. Supervisor Bath?
Aye.
No. Supervisor Rodriguez? Nay. Nudo?
Aye.
Maurer?
No.
Gashke? No. So the motion to table this failed. So the motion currently before us then is whether we will adopt this or not. Is there any further discussion on this? And that being said, Supervisor Rodriguez,
okay,
if you...
I just want to reiterate what I said before. How can we adopt this year now if there was no motion before to adopt this year? I can understand even if I call on, like making these changes. Okay, fine. We go along to make these changes to the handbook, but we cannot vote on adopting the handbook. We can make a, I suppose we can take a vote on it, making the changes, but not on adopting the handbook.
And I do understand what you're saying, and of course that was my initial mindset as well. I wanted to be careful along those lines. That being said, what Supervisor Rodriguez did is he did not simply amend a motion that was before us. He presented a wholly altogether different motion. Is that correct, Supervisor Rodriguez? So what Supervisor Rodriguez did was presented a wholly new motion, which substantially is the same with minor changes. But
I'm okay voting to make those changes, but I'm not going to vote without them. So I guess I want to know, what are we voting on?
Yeah.
We're voting to make changes to the handbook. I will vote on that. Without, yes, no, maybe, whatever. But I don't think we should take a vote in adopting it.
I understand your caution. Again, I certainly want to make sure that we as a committee are doing things properly and above board. It's my understanding, it's my opinion that, like Supervisor Rodriguez said, that what we're doing is appropriate. I'm certainly, you know, again, I appreciate your caution. That being said, the motion before us is to adopt not the handbook that Supervisor Beth originally made a motion for. There was no second for that. But the motion before us is to adopt Supervisor Rodriguez's version of the handbook.
I think Supervisor Rodriguez's motion is to make changes to the handbook. Am I correct? That's Supervisor Rodriguez's motion, is to make changes to the handbook.
I think inherently that, depending on how you look at it, all due respect to my colleagues.
To accept it as amended?
I think Supervisor Gashke, you're the chair of this committee. This is ultimately your decision. You could go back and forth all night. And you just...
Yeah.
That's your decision.
Yeah. I'm just trying to clarify the motion before us. And you, as the presenter of the motion, it was your intention that this was a wholly
to update
different.
The current book with my book.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the Rodriguez version of the handbook that you presented.
The
so it was a wholly new, yes, and it was,
yeah,
seconded, and
yeah.
All right, so that, I mean, again, that being said, I you know, making the best judgment call I can, you know, with the information I have, I do believe that we can, as a committee, move forward with this. So if there's no further discussion, I'll call for a vote. Again, this is on the Rodriguez version of the handbook, as seconded by Supervisor Maurer. We'll start with youth and governance. Are you in favor of adopting this handbook? If so, please say aye. If not, please say nay.
Aye.
Okay, then we'll just go down the line. So Supervisor Beth, aye or nay?
I'm gonna abstain.
Okay. Supervisor Rodriguez?
Aye.
Nudo?
Abstain.
Aye.
Gashke, aye. So we have 3 in favor, 2 abstentions. So this does pass. Again, not as originally presented to us by Educator Neffs, but instead the updated version from Supervisor Rodriguez. Okay, we will, that being said, we will, Erica, if you could have a typed version of that available for the committee next month, even if you could email it out to us ahead of time,
yes.
That would be appreciated. Thank you.
Move to adjourn?
No, don't do that. We don't ever adjourn after this meeting. Because this committee meets as a whole. If we adjourn, then we adjourn that.
That is true. So we are going to take a momentary recess and move down the hall and then continue with our meeting. Thank you.
Would have ended our night very early.
And we would have had a noodle piss. We would have had more than one noodle piss. Eric, I need to run to the next meeting, but I forgot to ask it. Anytime we have a featured presentation, if you could send your slides to April, and then she'll send that out to the committee so that we have an electronic version of your slide presentation from the featured presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Do you need a moment, Gina? Do you have just a moment?
Sure.
Can you just wait 1 second? I just want to say hello.
Okay.
Wait. Sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you.
This is your
account. I'm Sandy Beth, and I've been put on this interviewing.
Yes, thank you so much.
I don't know how peaceful that's going to go. We have not been in peace.
Yeah, well, I appreciate if you say yes, hopefully.
You know, if there's a problem, you don't have to put me asking.
Okay, thank you for letting me know.
No reason I should not be hearing.
Okay, I'll make sure that we're all, I just was doing it the way we did it last year, and I'm going to make sure we're good. So we'll see what happens.
Sure. Somebody there is a new change.
Put in there, and yes.
Right. So it was Teddy, who was my boss. I was the administrator of the program. So there were two. So I worked in Racine and Coastal County, but I was the administrator of the food bank program, so the nutrition education program.
Okay.
Different ballgame, but still he exists, like he just looking at his extensions, right?
Okay.
And so I worked with Teddy in Kenosha County, I worked with Bev in Racine County.
Most
of these folks I've been colleagues with for quite some
time. I honestly,
I do, and actually I'm passionate about the work extension does, and I just want to let you know, I know 4-H is hurting right now.
I feel like that.
Yeah, it's
do that.
I know.
I mean,
but I can see why.
So
sorry,
well, it's a lot. My youngest is.
I don't know any of them.
So
I think you guys might have your problems, but I think just more. Do you think it's not your loss?
Well, I feel bad about it.
I would have went about that. I don't know why I do, but I just.
Well,
I think we don't know that. Just because of what it was.
Yeah.
I know, and it was.
There might be nothing.
They would have found something,
but
knowing those sides is a lot harder.
Right.
And no more, but yeah, that's
right.
That was for
what?
Besides 6 weeks after starting my job?
Yeah.
Well, that's
and
the thing.
I got already retired.
It's
really just, it really was.
They just
really was a stupid mistake. I wasn't colluding to try to like give the executive who's literally like about to be done
right.
A power grab. Like, and there's no power that comes with having 2 kids that are missing.
I mean, honestly, any type of whiff of that, I think that they would have started bitching.
I know.
It was a good, I mean, it was, it's a
structure.
Yeah,
because that's what the kids
they're really, like, they all wanted to be part of it, really.
That's all I'm asking.
So many questions.
I just wasn't thinking, because I know the
Okay, so he's
my advisor. Okay, he did an appoint Josh for the 4-H.
He was, but he's wonderful. He's been very helpful. She's been his heart mentor.
Yeah.
And my mentor,
They were from something. So it's just, it was
interesting. So that way, that's not like he moved.
sorry, I can't remember.
Because every version.
I
so can like, hey,
right?
You said that it
really
depends there.
Yeah.
We would say no.
So,
yeah.
It depends there, it's okay.
There, but
the bummer I love the thing from
right.
But
right.
Yeah, the worst case would be that this would be like a way bigger field than
you need to be in.
Yeah.
I
don't
know.
I know.
And there's some sort of
actually
coach jobs done on this position.
Well, and I was in the final interview.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm aware of that.
And that
field
vote
failed. And my question
wanted,
so was the chief of the sample coach, you know, he didn't want to be
the
same as a handful of other people that
sure.
Have more content, special, specific knowledge in
the
other age. And they're talking about the interview.
I should have seen that out loud. And I was thinking, like, okay,
kind of knowing that I might be applying for
still to get things back on the ship in the first place.
That's, I think
so,
they would have thought, they would have thought,
oh, is that the right thing? But it is
so
what it is.
I'm always
going
to do, I'm always
going
to trust you. I think they wouldn't have wanted to see that
I
should like,
I mean, that's so good. I'm sorry, everyone. And hopefully they don't think extensions are even enough. I'm sorry.
No. They just are going to pat themselves on the back and carry
a heavy lift
yeah.
For a part-time person.
So,
yeah. But yeah.
Well,
hopefully after the election.
Regina, I hope to talk soon.